All right, boys, let's stop looking back. Let's start looking forward. All right, we got four potentially great games, at least the next round of the college football playoff to talk about. So what we're going to do is we are going to jump into them in chronological order. So basically the order that they are going to be played. So there's going to be one game on New Year's Eve, and that is the Fiesta Bowl. And it is at 7:30 Eastern on ESPN, obviously from Glendale, Arizona. Penn State is a favorite, a double-digit favorite. They are favored by 11. This is the first ever matchup between the Nittany Lions and the Broncos of Boise State. So, Brian, I'm going to let you kick this one off. Penn State, give us kind of how they got here. Give us a little bit of a rundown on the Nittany Lions.
I got to say, fellas, to start off with, I have not been a believer in this Penn State team all year. And with one exception, they have done what they needed to do to get here. And you got to give them a lot of credit. Penn State was a preseason number 8 team in the country. I was not as high on this Penn State team for a host of reasons. I thought that they might have a chance. I love their offensive coordinator hire. And Andy, I say it 2 weeks in a row, I've got the name right. Andy Koldelnicki. They brought in Tom Allen as a defensive coordinator. I did like those hires. And I wondered how would those hires impact this team's ability to maybe win some of those games that in the past they didn't win. And I think to a degree we saw that, guys. We saw them come out and to start the season off with a really nice, impressive win over West Virginia. Had a sort of a similar to Notre Dame kind of big first game, letdown game in week 2 against a MAC team. The big difference, Notre Dame lost to their MAC team, and Penn State came back from 17-7 and beat the MAC team that they played. And that showed me a little something about this team. And they won a lot of ugly games, but in the past, they lost those ugly games, fellas. In the past, they wouldn't have come back against USC on the road down 20-6 at halftime. They did. They came back, won that game in overtime, showed their grit, struggled early against Wisconsin, and then put Wisconsin away in the second half. Another example, guys, of in the past, Minnesota's another one where they were down for a chunk of the game, came back and won the game. I feel like in the past, at least one or two of those games would have been losses for Penn State in the past. And I think that's what's different about this Penn State team that got this Penn State team here is, guys, they had those ugly, we didn't show up and play the game we're capable of days that in the past would get them beat. But now they were able to find ways to win, and they won in different ways. Some weeks it was the offense, some weeks it's the defense, some weeks it was the special teams. Against Minnesota, the special teams stepped up huge in that game after some mistakes early in the game. And so obviously Penn State went 11-1, earned a bid into the Big Ten championship game, their first appearance since 2016, and were outplayed by Oregon. I think we all watched that game. Oregon was the better team for 4 quarters, but I was very much impressed with Penn State's just, they never got punked by Oregon. And I kept waiting for that moment to happen. You know, Oregon jumps on him, goes right down the field and scores, and Penn State just marches right back down. Oregon starts to pull some distance between them and Penn State, and then Penn State just comes right back down. They showed a lot of fight, guys, that honestly, before the season, if you'd have brought it up to me, I'd have probably told you I don't think they have that kind of fight in them. When Oregon went up 28-10, I think I might have even texted you guys like, well, this is about to get ugly. And Penn State came right back with back-to-back scores. And next thing you know, instead of it being, you know, 42-10 at halftime, which honestly, because when they scored to go up 28-10, guys, there was still 10 minutes left in the second quarter. I'm like, this is going to get ugly. And Penn State scored 2 straight touchdowns, and they weren't fluky. It was an 8-play 75-yard drive and a 10-play 64-yard drive. And then that made it 28-24. Oregon scored to make it 31-24. And then from that point on, Penn State never felt Penn State was going to win, but they kept battling. And that showed me a little something. And then, of course, last week they came out and overwhelmed SMU for much of that game. So I still don't think this is a super sexy Penn State team, but I have grown a lot of respect for this Penn State's team's fight and ability to win games late, with the exception of the Ohio State game, obviously. That was a bit bad loss, but Ohio State's a better team than Penn State. You know, so that's something that I've grown to respect about this Penn State team. I don't know if this is the game where necessarily that any potential issues may get exposed. We're going to find out and have that conversation, but this is a much grittier Penn State team than I thought it was going to be, and that's why they're sitting here in the quarterfinals with a chance to advance to this college football playoff semifinals.
Hey, CFB Nation listeners, it's Matt Leiner. I've got a podcast called Throwbacks with actor Jerry Farrar, where we'll be talking all things sports, but also so much more. From football locker rooms to Hollywood green rooms, we've got you covered. We're your weekly destination for the games you want to hear about and the stories you won't forget. So subscribe to Throwbacks wherever you download your podcast and follow us on all social media at Throwback Show.
Trevor, give us the rundown on the Broncos from the blue-turfed Boise State.
Yeah, man, Boise State's been one of the more fun teams to watch this season. You know, they went undefeated in their conference, and they avoided a lot of the disaster that other teams at the top of their conference down the home stretch of the season couldn't avoid, right? Like, you look at Miami, like I had brought up before, was almost a shoe-in for the ACC Conference Championship game. And, you know, a loss late to Georgia Tech kind of sealed the deal for them. Same thing with BYU. Everybody was talking about BYU is going to be ranked here in the playoffs, and they're going to be playing in their conference championship game. And then what did we get? You know what I mean? So Boise State was able to avoid any of those tough losses that would have kept them out of contention for their conference championship. So they did lose their second game of the season, but it was at a conference, and it was against Oregon, the only undefeated team going into the playoffs. They played in Oregon, and they lost 37-34. And that was kind of the game that started turning some heads a little bit for Boise State. They're like, okay, I mean, was this a fluky game for Penn State, or, you know, is this Boise team legit? Oh, and also, they have a pretty good dude at running back named Ashton Jeanty, right? So, I mean, throughout the season, they beat UNLV twice, right? Once in the regular season, 29-24, and then once in the conference championship, 21-7. Yeah, key victories for them. They beat Washington State 45-24. And then, like I said, UNLV twice. So Boise State went on a really impressive run. And after losing in week two, much like Notre Dame, they went on a super long win streak. And it was at the heels of Ashton Jeanty, who I personally believe should have won the Heisman Trophy. That's a different conversation for a different show. But Ashton Jeanty has been a dude this season. And anybody who pays attention to college football knows who I'm talking about, right? I mean, he was 3 yards short of 2,500 rushing yards. He had 29 rushing touchdowns and averaged 7.3 yards per carry. So this kid was on an absolute tear. But I will say defensively, it's a little interesting for Boise State. Like, when I think when you watch them, their defense looks better than what some of the stats may indicate. You know, they rank 33rd in the country in points per game. You know, they've beaten a lot of teams by a big margin. You know, they've dropped 50 a couple times this season. They scored over 40 points a handful of times. They scored over 30 points 8 times. You know, in some of those games, though, they are giving up like 21. Like, I think in the game where they scored like 60, they gave up like 34 or something like that. So they rank 33rd in scoring defense. They give up 21.6 points per game. They do rank 61st in total yards allowed in a game. So all these things just kind of fuel into what's going to make this matchup with Penn State more interesting. You know, their rush defense is better than their pass defense. Their rush defense is ranked number 22nd in the country. Their pass defense is ranked 108th in the country. So from a matchup perspective, it's going to be interesting, but Boise State is one of those teams that 100% belongs where they are because they earned it in the regular season. Teams don't go 12-1 and lose to Oregon by 3 points on the road if it's fluky. Right. I mean, they went and they beat UNLV in a rematch, which is a really hard thing to do. And they beat them more convincingly the second time than they did the first time that they played them, in my opinion. So Boise State's been a really fun team to watch this season. There's a lot to talk about with this matchup, but I think it's going to be a lot closer than what the spread's going to indicate.
I want to point something out here real quick. Trev, the point you made is a good one. I want to point something out that Boise State never trailed Oregon by more than 7 points in that game. They had a lead at halftime and they had a lead in the fourth quarter. Whereas Penn State, I don't believe was ever closer than a touchdown after the first quarter. If I'm correct on that, right? First quarter was 14-10, Oregon. They went up 21-10, 28-10, then it was 11, then it was 4. So it was 4. In the second half, it was 14-8, 15-8 in the second half of that game. So Boise actually played Oregon more competitively than Penn State did, and Oregon won on a walk-off 0 seconds left in the game field goal. So I thought that was interesting that there is a common opponent between these two. I believe this is the only playoff game, I believe, where there is a common opponent between the two. No, Notre Dame and Georgia is the only other one where there's a common opponent. But this is the only one where there's a common opponent that's in also in the playoff, which I find to be very interesting. So not that it's going to determine the outcome of the game. It's matchups. It's just it's for people that don't think Boise belongs on this stage. What would they do against other top teams? Well, we've seen them against other top at least one, the number one team, and they were as close to beating them as anybody in the country, honestly, because Ohio State didn't lead Oregon late in the game. Boise did, and that's the difference.
Yeah, this game has a lot of very interesting matchups, gentlemen, and you know it does look a little David versus Goliath, right? I mean, when 11 points is a big number as far as being a favorite, as far as Vegas is concerned, and all of that, and at least the first time they've ever played. It's a group of five versus a power five. It's, you know, all of the storylines that you want to write about, you know, big guy, little guy, you know, the whole thing. When you just sit down and talk about football, all right, the biggest matchup disparity for me is probably Boise State's pass defense. I'm nervous about Boise State's pass defense. Every category that there is for pass defense is in the triple digits. And I'm not saying that Penn State is this juggernaut passing team because they want to run the ball first. I mean, they do. Drew Aller is not a pushover. He can throw the ball when he needs to. And that is going to be a very appetizing thing for Penn State's offense, looking across the way and seeing a bunch of triple digit, you know, ranks and against a group of five schedule as well. Right. So, To me, that's the big disparity, and I think that is where, like, if Penn State can take advantage of that, then this game may not be all that close.
Couple things on that. If you're Boise State, the two teams you want based on your matchups is Penn State or Notre Dame in the second round in the quarterfinals, because those are the two teams that are probably the least dynamic throwing teams.
Sure.
Right?
Yep.
Now, Penn State is a very efficient passing team. And that's what they've done. And again, we know Drew Aller, all the heat he gets for what he is. Reality is Penn State's eighth in college football in passer rating. And Washington State, Oregon, Colorado, Ohio State, Miami, Ole Miss, and Indiana are ahead of them. Right? I mean, that's it. Drew Aller's not a sexy quarterback, as we talk about all the time. He's not a guy that's just going to go out there and just, you know, look like the next, you know, Peyton Manning. He gets the job done, though. Yeah. I mean, this is a kid that this season, you know, had some big struggles against USC early, had a couple bad picks, and then puts that team on his shoulders in the second half and just rips USC apart. You know, he does what he's asked to do. He does his job, and he made some money throws in the Big Ten title game. Yeah, it really comes down to it. But if you're Boise, this is the kind of the matchup you want. And I know that they've given up a lot of yards this year passing, but part of that is because of their schedule and the fact that they've had some blowout wins. So, like, they gave up 372 passing yards to Hawaii. I mean, to Utah State. Well, they won that game 62-30. You know, so they were up big in that game, and you know, they had some big plays. If you watch the game, that's a big plays late. You know, you look at San Jose State, threw for 446 yards on them. Well, again, that's because they won 42-21, and they were blowing them out, and that's kind of what San Jose State does. Washington State threw for 327 yards on them because that's what Washington State does. In a game, they won by three touchdowns. So these games, they're giving up a lot of yards, are games where, you know, teams are throwing a lot because they're up big. Georgia Southern threw for 322 in a game that Boise won by 11. It wasn't that close, but he threw 50 passes, only 6.4 yards per attempt. Against UNLV, they held UNLV to 110 passing yards and 3.9 yards per attempt in the title game. They held them to 179 yards earlier in the season in the win at UNLV. Like, this is a not a great pass defense, you know, but it's not a terrible pass defense either. I think part of the numbers are a result of the fact that they've just had so big leads and teams are kind of forced to throw the football on them. But at the end of the day, they're going to have to make some plays there, and it's going to really come down to their ability to get pressure on the quarterback. Can they pressure Drew Aller. That's going to be a big question, because this is a team that does get good pressure on the quarterback, guys. This is a team with 51 sacks in the season. They had 4 sacks against Oregon. If they can register 4 sacks in this game, they might have a shot, because I don't care how good I could spin it, guys, about how their pass defense isn't as bad, and that's true, but they still don't have anybody on that defense that matches up against Tyler Warren. So schematically, what are they going to be able to do to keep him out of the game? And then here's the other kind of secret weapon that Penn State has in their pass game. If you do a lot to take out Tyler Warren, next thing you know, they're slipping Nicholas Singleton out of the backfield and getting him in space, and that's what makes them dangerous. So they're a lot like Notre Dame in that they're not going to put up these monster passing numbers, usually Penn State, but they're super efficient. They make the plays that they need to, and they know how to get isolations of their best players. They do I don't know that there's a better OC in the country that has one legitimate passing weapon, but does a better job of finding ways to get him in great matchups to where, because of how much they move Tyler Warren around, it's almost impossible as a defense to say, hey, we're just going to double team him, because they move him so much. You never know where he's going to be, and he hardly ever ends up where he starts. And I think they do a good job of that, and Boise's going to have a plan for that. If they can force some early incompletions, get them into some third and longs, that's where you slow them down. And actually, SMU did a pretty decent job of that early against Penn State. I mean, their 14-0 lead was because of they had 2 pick sixes. Like, SMU was moving the ball a little bit on them, and Penn State didn't do a whole lot on offense early in that game. If Boise can avoid those big mistakes, then I think they have a shot to at least keep this game close. But then on the other side, Trev, the key for Boise is, guys, you're just not going to run Ash and Jenty down their throat for 4 quarters. You're going to have to step up, and somebody else is going to have to make plays. And it comes down to it. I just don't know that Maddox Madsen is the quarterback in a game like this to make the plays necessary to keep Penn State honest and keep them from just saying, hey, everybody, stop Jenty. That's the key. Stop him, and they're done. And that's basically the game plan. No one's been able to do it yet, but they haven't played a run defense like Penn State yet either. And that's going to be the key. Maddox Madsen is going to absolutely be 100% the key to this game, fellas. If he can make some plays early with his arm and his legs, which he did against UNLV in the title game, that's what gives them a chance to stay in this football game. Because I do believe, Trev, I'm not sure if you agree with this, if it's a fourth quarter game, if it's a 4-quarter game, I think Boise has a shot. The thing I'd be worried about as a Boise fan is Penn State jumping on you early, and now you got to play catch up. That would be my big concern in this game.
Light it. Hey, College Football Nation listeners, it's Urban Meyer. Have you ever wanted to be in the huddle with 2 national champions? This is your chance. Join me, Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram and Rob Stone, every Wednesday as we take you inside the biggest moments in college football, as well as navigate the ever-changing landscape of the sport that you love. Let us guide you into the new age and have a lot of fun along the way. Watch Triple Option on YouTube or listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Boise State, weather the storm early. I mean, Penn State's going to come out fired up. Not that Boise State won't, you know, but Penn State is used to playing this level of opponent, right? Like, Penn State this season has played Ohio State. They played Illinois earlier in the season when they were ranked. They played Oregon this year in the Big Ten title game. You know, they just did what they did to SMU. And Boise State hasn't played a football game since they beat UNLV, right? So it's going to be interesting to see how that comes out. If UNLV can weather the storm early and keep it to where they don't have to totally abandon the run game, because I agree with you. I don't know if Maddox is the type of player that can put the team on his back and consistently make plays for 4 quarters to keep them within striking distance. You know, you look at his performances against UNLV, right? He did enough. You know, like, in key moments, he made some big throws. UNLV's defense is put together a little bit differently than Penn State's defense, right? You know, they don't have Abdul Carter coming off of the end at you out there in Las Vegas. So that's going to be interesting. For me, the key is, and you see it all the time, is when inexperienced offensive coordinators in big games like this. Now, luckily for them, their offensive coordinator is one of their former head coaches, like the head coach that kind of put Boise State on the map. So he has experience in big games, but there is a tendency sometimes to go away from the run the second that you get down, you know, remotely anywhere close to like a big deficit. So don't completely take Ashton Jeanty out of the game because he is your best offensive weapon. I think they're going to have to get creative with how they use him because it's no secret what they're going to do. You know what I mean? They're lining up and running this kid 30 times a game, minimum.
And you, I feel like, Vince, that the game plan for Boise up front is similar to the one that Notre Dame has. You don't have to dominate Penn State's front. You don't. Jeanty's the kind of back, and honestly, the two best backs I've seen at this all season, actually the three, two of them are at Notre Dame and one of them is at Boise, where it doesn't require dominant blocking. Like, you don't need 2012 Stanford O-line for Jeanty to go off. He's not going off because their offensive line is phenomenal. It's a good offensive line. You don't put up the numbers he's had in spite of the offensive line, right? But this isn't like 2017 Notre Dame offensive line. It's just get a body on a body. And can they do that enough to let him rip off a couple big runs early? Because that's the other thing, too, is we talk about the pass game's got to take some pressure off. But if he is able to get a couple gash runs early, some way, somehow, you know, with some different things, like I'd be – if I'm Boise, I'm coming out early. I'm shifting over double tights, motioning across. I'm doing things to kind of get Penn State moving, just saying, hey, we just got to catch one. We got to catch him on one, and then that kind of loosens things up.
Sure.
That's going to be an interesting matchup, too, because this is a pretty good Penn State defensive line. But there have been a couple games this season, like Minnesota early in that game was kind of gashing them a little bit. And Minnesota does not run the ball well. There have been some games, like I thought the Penn State defense did a pretty good job early against Ohio State's run game, but then just could not get off the field when everybody in the stadium knew what was coming late in the game. This hasn't always been the best rush defense in the country. I mean, their numbers are good, guys, but there have definitely been some moments this year where Penn State's rush defense looked a little vulnerable. Ohio State late, USC early, Minnesota early, Oregon pretty much the whole game. Like, there's some games they look great, some games that they look vulnerable, and I'm very curious if Boise can take advantage of that and hit some gash plays. That's what Boise needs to do. Now, for Penn State, it's if you dominate first and second down, this game won't be close. It won't, because if they get into third and longs, Boise's toast.
Agreed.
They're toast.
Yeah.
They're going to have to be great on first and second down to have a shot in this football game. And that's what Boise's been good at all year, Trev. I mean, the games like against UNLV, they weren't Boise lighting the world on fire with 40 points a game. They scored in the 20s, I think, both games. But they would just – they grinded UNLV down. They were good on first and second down. You know, Jeanty wasn't ripping them up the first game, but he was getting four. He was getting six. He was getting five. And that allowed them to keep moving the chains, and then eventually he breaks one. Like, second game, too, it was 14-0 with, like, 30 seconds left in a half. Jeanty had, you know, he was pounding him. He wasn't ripping him up. He didn't have any – and then all of a sudden, boom, 70, touchdown, 21-0, ball game. Like, that's the thing is we said, guys, if Boise could just keep it close early, eventually Jenty's going to break one. You hope that that happens when it's 17-10 or 17-7. And not 27-7 or 27-3.
Yeah.
That's what you have to hope for. So the defense is going to have to make some big stops. I do think this is a scrappy Boise State defense. They just have to limit the big plays in the passing game, as we talked about early. It's going to be a fun matchup.
Yep. I agree. Ahead, no, I was just going to say, I agree. They're going to have to limit, you know, Penn State's explosive plays. That's going to be the key for Penn State. I mean, if Penn State just comes out, you know, they're going to want to run the ball, you know, they're going to want to play action, you know, they're an old school offense. There's no doubt about that. That's what they're going to want to do. Again, the Boise State pass defense worries me a little bit. If you're a Boise State fan, right? I think that's an area that they could take advantage of, but again, that's not the bread and butter for Penn State. So just because it's a place where they could take advantage doesn't mean they will. And so I think that's going to be a big part of this as well. If you're Boise, you need to limit the big plays. You need to keep the score tight. If you can keep the score tight going into the end of the game, into the fourth quarter, if it's a one score game going into the fourth quarter, this is going to be a heck of a finish. That's the way I see it. If Penn State gets out early, that's not what you want as a Boise State fan. Cause I just don't think that they're built for comebacks. They're just not built to throw the ball around, score fast. Like, I mean, they can score fast, but that's only if Ashton Jeanty busts off an 80-yard run.
Right.
I mean, they can do it, but that's just not – you can't go into a game plan. Okay, we're going to have three 80-yard runs here. You know, like that's not a game plan.
Can't bank on it.
Correct. You can do it, But that's not how you game plan.
It's funny you say that, Vince, because that's why Notre Dame and Boise State are here.
Right. That's
it's
true.
Because of that. But again, Mike Denbrock doesn't go into game saying, look, hey, if we get back to put our own two, we're going to run outside zone and it's going to go for 98.
Right.
Like, right. We got them right where we want them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like to your point, that's not it. The thing that's concerning for Boise too is Penn State's biggest vulnerability. And we talked about this when we previewed the Big Ten title game. If you've got athletes on the perimeter, you can give them a lot of problems, lot of problems. This is not your typical Penn State secondary. Problem is Boise just doesn't have that type of athlete. Really, Cameron Camper's a good football player, man. He is a good football player, but is he a guy that's going to put the fear of God into the Penn State secondary? No, he's not. You talk about what Tez Johnson and Evan Stewart and those kind of guys. He just doesn't. But if Boise is able to stay in this game or pull off the upset, because I think all four underdogs are capable of pulling off upsets, even the two big double-digit dogs. I do think they're capable of it. Now, they need a lot of things to go right to win this game. But for Boise, the what's got to go right is you've got to force some turnovers from the Penn State offense. And Penn State this year, guys, has not been a team that turns the ball over a whole lot, right? And Boise State's not a team that forces the ball to be turned over a whole lot. But there have been times when Penn State has been careless with the football. You know, you think to the Oregon game, you think to the USC game, but they just don't beat themselves a lot. And that's the thing that could help Boise. I just don't know if they can do that. But then the other one is you've got to hit some big plays early in the pass game, as we talked about. Some well-designed first down, move the chains, but also some shots. If they can somehow get the ball over top a couple times early on Penn State, maybe that's enough to loosen them up to allow Genty to then rip off some big runs. I think those are going to be some keys to Penn State. And if you're Penn State, it's quite the opposite. Mm-hmm. You know, shut them down on early downs, put them in situations where they have to throw the football. And on the other side of the ball, you got to protect the football. Don't put your defense in any bad spots against Boise State, right? You can't do that. And then Drew Aller, dude, just be what you've been all year. You don't got to be Superman in this game. Just be what you've been all year. Get the ball where it's supposed to go to. Hit a couple third downs, scramble a couple times, which he's actually pretty good at. If you lose contain on your pass rush lanes, he'll step in and move the chains with his legs. Mm-hmm. Just be what you've been all year. Don't try to go out there and win this football game with some big-time throws into tight coverage. Don't do that. Just do what you've been doing all year. Manage the offense. Don't put your defense in a bad spot. And when those opportunities come, let Nick Singleton and Keetron Allen and Tyler Warren do their thing. And he's been great at that all year. They're going to need him to be that again against Boise.
All right, Brian, prediction time for this game. We'll go you, we'll go Trev, then we'll go me. All right, so give us your prediction for this game.
I'm going Penn State 27, Boise State 17. I think it's going to be a closer game than that, but I think it's a game where Penn State is always in control, and it's, you know, they're up by 10 to 14, then Boise scores to make it, and then Penn State kicks a field goal up by 7. Boise kicks a field goal to make it 4 again. Then Penn State scores again. I think it's one of those games where it's, you know, it's 24-17 and Penn State kicks a field goal to ice it at the end, or it's 20-17. Boise had just scored to make it 20-17 and Penn State goes right back down and puts the game away, that type of game, 27-17. I could see Penn State blowing Boise out. I just don't think that's going to happen. I think Boise is a good football team. I just don't think they have enough firepower against an opponent like this in the pass game to protect Ash and Genty enough. But I do think he'll get his early, and it's just going to not be quite enough. They're going to need more of a team effort than him to be Hercules today. They're going to need more against Penn State, and I don't think they're going to have quite enough. So I'm going Penn State 27, Boise 17.
All right, Trev, what do you got?
I have Penn State winning as well, but I have it being close and the game plan out a little different. I have Penn State winning 21-17. So in Penn State's best games where they've started out, right, like in their big moments, they've relied on the defense to step up in big ways, right? They have, you know, that pick six early against Will Howard against Ohio State. And then against SMU, Kevin Jennings was just going nuts, not in a good way. But Penn State's offense wasn't able to do anything off of that. You know, their defense was starting to carry him a little bit. And Maddox Madison, I don't know if he is, you know, as much of a game wrecker as what Boise State might need him to be in this game. But if there is one thing I do know about him is he takes care of the football. And I don't know if this is going to be a moment where Penn State can kind of get their night started with a big turnover. They weren't able to against Oregon, and they were never really able to pull in that close. I could see this being a game where, you know, Boise State might take an early lead. And when I mean an early lead, I mean like a 3-0, maybe a 7-0, you know, punch it in late. But I think that Penn State overall is going to be able to take the lead going into halftime, and Boise State's never going to be able to catch back up, because, you know, I think Boise's going to take a lead early and they might try to nurse it, because I just don't think that they have the horses to try to play in a shootout type of game. And what Penn State showed us against Oregon is they're able to do that to a degree. You know, we were talking about the Penn State-Oregon game, and we were like, hey, if this turns into a shootout, this might get real ugly. Didn't have it on my bingo card that Penn State was going to drop 37, right? So I do have it being closer. I think Boise State covers the spread, because I think part of what Vegas is doing is kind of covering their tracks for what happened in the first round, if I'm just being 100% honest with you, because it's no mystery that, you know, Boise State and Arizona State are double-digit dogs, while, you know, Oregon and, like, Notre Dame are within, like, a field goal. You know what I mean? So I'm going to still take Penn State in this one, just because I think they have the better horses, the bigger horses, the more experience. But Boise State's going to make this competitive.
What say you, Vince?
Well, I tell you what, you know, listening to you guys, it's always nice to listen to you guys break a game down and go after it. And I you guys have brought up some very interesting points and ones that I don't disagree with.
Vince.
You're welcome. And, you know, just putting a little shine on the boss. It never hurts anything. No, just kidding. No, listen, this game, I think it is. I still have no faith in Penn State's head coach. He's had two good games in a row. I feel like it's like, you know, throwing the ball in the roulette wheel. Like, eventually this is coming to an end. Like, that's how I feel about this whole thing. But I just don't think it's going to come to an end in this game.
These type of games he's won, beating Memphis, correct, in the Cotton Bowl.
That's exactly, yeah, right. Like, even he can't screw this up. Like, I don't see him messing this game up. You know, I just don't. Now, if he does,
Penn State fans are super pissed right now, because he's like, you jinxed us. You jinxed us.
Now, here's the other thing, right? If he does screw it up, this is not going to be the surprise look. You know what I'm saying? But I don't feel like he will. He's got more talent. You know, they should win this game. They should win this game. I do think they jump out to a bit of an early lead, and I think they have control of this game pretty much, you know, for the duration. You know, Boise State will look good here and there. I think Genty's still going to get his, as they say, as the kids like to say. I think he'll bust out a long run. But I just don't see Boise State score more than two touchdowns in this game. So I have 27-14. So I'm kind of in the same neighborhood as you, Brian. You've got Boise scoring a field goal in there. So I've got Penn State winning 27-14, and they're in control throughout. That's how I see it playing out. So 27-14 is mine. So we all have Penn State, but a little bit of a variation on how they get there.